Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 32. I'm very excited about our guest today. David Jack is one of the most recognized sports performance coaches out there right now. He's a consultant to Reebok and Men's Health and Women's Health, and he's got a recurring role on Katie Couric's show right now as a fitness expert there. He's got some really cool things going on with a couple of organizations. He's founded Active Prayer and Active Lab, and just a really, really neat guy. I met him at an IYCA conference a year ago or maybe more now. But, you know, I kept hearing about the guy. I'm a skeptic at heart. I'm a little standoffish with things. And everybody kept talking about this guy, how dynamic, how engaging, and how much charisma this guy's got, and how genuine he is. And, you know, got a chance to observe him and then turn around and speak with him for a little bit. And he's every bit of that and more. Does a great, great job and a really neat person. And this conversation is one of those that I think is so important for strength coaches. You know, we get into really the dynamics of the relationship between the coach and the athlete, how to be able to ask so much of our athletes and then turn around and get them to give us everything they got in return. You know, we talk a little bit about, you know, his faith and how he's able to manage kind of through a diverse populations, diverse cultures, diverse situations, and does a fantastic job there. You know, has a ton of energy, and you know, so we get into some tips that he uses to kind of maintain his energy. As strength coaches, we always have to be on, and so I think it's a great, great message for everybody to listen to. I know you're really going to enjoy it. So make sure you sit back and you take some notes on this one. And before we get going, as always, I want to make sure we recognize Play Sports Performance Flooring for being the sole sponsor. You know, this month in the NFL is a salute to the troops and making sure that we're bringing awareness to the sacrifice that so many of our soldiers are making abroad right now. You know, this is a facility that they just did with the 75th Ranger Regiment, the Special Forces Battalion there in Fort Benning. And, you know, they put some of the turf down, and they got some of the chief flooring in there as well. And like I said, you know, what's great about Play is that they're just not a flooring company. They're able to do multiple products, able to make suggestions on facility layout and those types of things. They just hired Rich Gray. If you know Rich, Rich is a fantastic guy. He's helped me on several projects that I've had. He's a former Marine himself. You know, and just an all-around good guy, and I know he's going to do great things there. And so make sure you reach out to Rich and Brett and the gang there at Play if you got any kind of flooring needs that you're looking at right now. Also, make a big announcement for Iron Game Chalk Talk, and that's that we are now on iTunes. You know, if you go over to iTunes and you check that out there, just search for Iron Game Chalk Talk, and you'll be able to subscribe there. So please do me a favor. Go there even now. This would be a better episode to listen to maybe than to watch. But subscribe to the channel. Download all the episodes. You know, even if you watched them before, download them and then, you know, even delete them, because you know, it helps me spread the message and rank higher on iTunes and all those types of things. And if you would, if you appreciate what we're doing here with Iron Game Chalk Talk, if you would go to the ratings and reviews here and click that and just leave a rating, you know, leave a 5-star rating if you feel that way, a couple of lines. Again, you know, my goal with this is to try to get it out there to as many strength coaches as possible, to bring some of these great speakers to them in any way that I can. And, you know, so that we're all able to get a little bit better. So if you would do that for me, I'd truly appreciate it. Go there, subscribe, leave a rating and a review, and that would help what I'm trying to do. So sit back and enjoy this episode. I'll see you on the other side. All right, guys. Hey, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I met our next guest at the IYCA conference. Back when was that, David? Probably May.
Gosh, it had to be 2011.
Yeah, well, just this year. It was what, May?
Oh, that would be back in February, March.
February, March. And, you know, as soon as I met him, you know, and watched him work the room, you know, this is a guy that has an infectious personality and was a guy that I said, you know what, I got to get to know this guy better. And I want everybody to get a chance to meet him because I've gotten a chance to talk to you since and very impressed by you, very impressed about what you stand for and the job that you're doing in the strength and conditioning community. So I appreciate you coming on, brother.
Ron, I'm really honored to be here, and you and I share a lot of the same beliefs. And, you know, I'm just grateful to have met you and to be able to walk with you on this journey.
Hey, Dave, tell everybody a little bit about, you know, how you got into strength and conditioning and kind of what, where that, you know, how's that road been for you to where you're currently at?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, my life is, it's just an interesting journey. And, you know, I kind of laugh. I say, I didn't choose this industry. It kind of chose me. And I grew up training, you know, cellar dweller, had an older cousin who was a great football player. We became training partners and he mentored me a lot and just really fell in love with the iron, in love with the gym, at a young age, did a ton of free play, multiple sports, manual labor all the time. My grandfather thought that, and my father and our family always thought that that was an important thing for men to participate in, to be a part of. So that started at, you know, five with responsibility and encouraging on. So that was always a huge part of my life. Played football at a small college. And when I got out of college, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I left college with a psychology and a communications degree. So kind of trying to understand people, I guess, and, sure, and how to communicate with them. And was going to go into construction, believe it or not, with my cousin, who was a mentor of mine, who was my training partner. And I just felt in my soul and my gut that there was more. And one night I got this strange nudge that I needed to go to New York City. I grew up outside of the city, about an hour away in Connecticut. Got a nudge that I needed to go to Manhattan the next morning. This was 10 o'clock at night. We had a job to do, construction that morning. And I kind of wake up and I roll. It's like I'm like rolling around and I get this strong gut calling. You got to go to the city tomorrow. And I'm, what? It's not, wait, what? So I roll over, try to go to sleep second time, get it again, but it's stronger. I'm like, man, what is, I'm nuts. I roll over the third time, literally sit up completely wide awake. You're going to the city in the morning. Go call my cousin. He said, hey, I can handle the job. If you feel like you need to go look at other things, you know, that's what you need to do. Took a random train into New York, met a woman on an elevator in the NFL Properties building. And found myself the very next day packing up my Nissan Sentra. I moved to Massachusetts, lived on an army cot in a barn for 6 months, started a company called Ultimate Energy with her, which had functional foods, nutritional products, and lifestyle, working with some athletes at the time, and wanted to extend that work with kids. Met two mentors, BJ Baker, who still to this day is one of my favorite people in the world. He was the head strength coach and assistant trainer for the Red Sox at the time.
Yeah.
And Mike Morris, still a great friend and mentor of mine, who was the head speed and assistant strength coach for the New England Patriots. Those two guys became strength, conditioning, speed, and movement mentors for me. And my journey ultimately began in earnest in that field specifically, probably in 1997-98.
And so from there, you know, where is it taking you? I know you worked for, you know, TeamWorks and some other performance facilities, uh-huh, and now you're out in Phoenix, Arizona. You know, talk about how you got out there.
Yeah, you know, just to make a long God story short, you know, one thing leads to the other. And I wound up just for years finding myself just immersed in the trenches, mm-hmm, and coaching and figuring things out and sharing best practices and learning new techniques and spending time with people and just doing the best I knew how in the moment. And then kind of one thing led to the next. And you know, I meet this doctor to help him come up with strategies to work with obese kids in his pediatric clinic. He gets called one time by Men's Health magazine through a random reason. And they're asking him a question about kids' fitness, which they don't do a lot with.
Right.
He just met with me about 4 or 5 days earlier. They said, who should we talk to, about, to pick people's brains about working with kids and athletic development and fitness? He said, you got to talk to this guy, David Jack. I saw Dr. Watson two more times in my life. Got a call from Men's Health. They started asking me questions. Months go by. They put me on a panel to help them with a project called Fit Schools. I go down to help them help a school they chose in Easley, South Carolina. We're down in South Carolina. These two editors need to finish a story for the magazine. They don't have these two videos of certain exercises that they need for Jason Statham, who's an actor. Yeah. This place has nothing wrong. I mean nothing. They have five total balls for 1,200 kids in a school. I look over in the corner of the gym, and there's two climbing ropes attached together, and that's the exact exercise they needed. He'd climb two ropes kind of independently and together and do some stuff on the ropes, and I said, I could do that for you. Fast forward a month, editor-in-chief of Men's Health Magazine says, we need a new face for this brand in the magazine to help us with some fitness stuff, and da-da-da-da-da, I need a name. 12 people silent at a table. One of those editors that I helped said, David Jack. He's like, who's David Jack? He helped us with Fit Schools. He said, run with it. That gets me into a full-time contract with consulting with Men's Health 6 years ago, which expands to my role with them now. Reebok is a similar story. IYCA, the Youth Conditioning Association, Perform Better. They're all similar stories where, you know, I just feel like I've been chosen and have mercifully been equipped to do what I've been called to do, and I'm just not good enough to have chosen the things that I'm going to do and say, I'm going to do that, and this is what I'm going to do. So the journey continues.
Well, it's such an important point. And, you know, a lot of the coaches that watch this are coaches that sit back and they have tons of passion and tons of energy, and they're chasing their dreams, and they're full of go get it. And so sometimes it's hard to step back and just say, you know what, I'm gonna do a great job where I'm at, you know. Yes. And you know, there's a bigger plan. There's gonna be opportunities that come because I do a great job. And that's it sounds like that's been the case that you had through all your opportunities.
100%. And it gets harder now because, you know, when we were younger coaches, Ron, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the ability to share content and as quickly as we can and become a name as quickly as you can now. And I think what happens is there's an expectation that we get out there, we get our name out there, we become an expert, and those opportunities are real. And I'm just grateful that I had two phenomenal mentors. And if I could tell anybody on this call, you know, this time, the first thing that's going to help you be successful is you find mentors who know more than you do, and they want to share it with you, not because they want to say, look at me, not because it's about them, because they genuinely want to see you rise. And I was so grateful to have two of those countless men, but specifically in this industry early on, two of those men in my life that genuinely just wanted to share their knowledge with me to make me better. And you know, it's like, it's the old thought about what a true martial arts master is. A true coach, a true martial arts master is looking to make their students better than they are. Right. That's their genuine care and concern, not about them. And so the first and foremost, getting those mentors in your life and learning from them. And then the second thing is wherever you find yourself, give your very best inspired action for intentions that are greater than you to make a difference in the people's lives that you have the opportunity to tend to. And you continue to do that, and good things are going to happen for you. I promise you that. Like, you can't get around it.
No doubt. No, I agree with you 100%. And, you know, I was speaking at the NSCA National Conference this January. And I'm speaking on, you know, things that I've learned since college. And that was the very first thing. That's, you know, is sacrificing. And part of sacrificing is finding that mentor that can help guide you along the way. And it, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, if you can avoid it's the apprenticeship model. You know, if you can avoid a lot of the mistakes that others have made, you know, you're crazy if you don't take advantage of that. You know, and it's such an important piece of having success, and especially having success early. So I agree with you 100%. I want to shift gears
I find the guys that are finding really good success and doing the things that they love to do, you know, they really understand that they're in this to give their strengths away, to use their strength to serve, that it's not about them and what they're going to gain and who's going to see me and what my next contract will be and all that. And that's important because you need to be healthy to serve others. But I really find that the people that rise are the people that genuinely are passionate about this, and they're willing to put the work in, they're willing to learn, they're willing to be humbled, they're willing to hustle. And, you know, just like a coach of an athlete on a football team, they're going to pull out those guys that are first to the huddle, this off, staying extra to watch film. They're part of this team. They're all in. You know, it's funny that you'll always find people who have leadership positions that are looking for guys and girls like that they can just sew into, and you can never go wrong with it.
Well, anytime you give, you're going to get back tenfold, and that's
can't get around it.
And that's servant leadership, you know. And it
spiritual, kind of, natural law.
Yeah, and you know, it kind of takes me into my, you know, my next thing. You know, one of the things that I've, you know, and getting to know you and researching you and relationships. It all, everything you do stems from having a great relationship with the people that you work with, you know.
Yes,
and when you have that servant heart, and your genuine care is to invest in that person, that's, you know, it's an easy sell. And fitness is an easy sell. Strength is an easy sell when I'm helping you with your goals, you know.
That's right.
And I know that you've shared that. So talk a little bit about some of the ways that you've gone and formed relationships with your athletes to be able to go back to them and hold them extremely accountable.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, it's just like you said, it starts with just genuinely wanting to be there for them and serve them. And so one of the things that we talk about is, you know, you really have to have a heart to meet people where they're at and give them what they think they need in order to earn the right to give them what you know they want.
Right.
And that's an important thought. You know, we've even got now, because we're learning so much so fast, you know, I'll give you an example. 17-year-old high school football player, we'll use him as an example. Just he comes in and he says to his strength coach, hey, you know, I really want to bench two wheels. I want to bench 225. Right. And instantly that coach goes off in a rant and says, benching is terrible. It's not functional. It doesn't work. It's going to hurt you. You don't need to do that. And you know what? You may be right. Right.
Yeah.
But what they hear is what matters to me. They could care less.
Right.
They don't care about me. And so you've got to really be genuinely interested in what matters to them and meet them where they're at so that you can start to open up their doors and really serve them and be the expert that you need to be at a point in time. But that can't sometimes happen on Jump Street. And so the first and foremost thing is to build trust, to establish credibility in a culture that allows people to feel like they matter. They're number one when they're with you, when they are the center of your world and the top of your concern, and you're consistent in those action patterns that really get them to know that you are who you say you are. And then the stuff starts to open up that is so much more than how much they bench, how fast their 40 is. Not that those things aren't important, because they are, but they will start to be able to come to you about the real things, the real big rocks in their life that are going to set character, that are going to shape the future of their humanity and the future of how they choose to use their talents in the world around them. And in that way, you know, fitness has always been, strength conditioning sport has always been a hook for me to be able to walk with people on their journey, to be able to be available to them as they see fit, and to use fitness to witness, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, watching you work at the, you know, at the IYCA conference, you know, you're sitting in the audience, speaker goes up, I need somebody to demonstrate some speed drills. I need somebody to work with some band exercises. I need, you know, the next guys, I need, you know, somebody to do these plyos. You were the first guy up every time, you know, and you were excited to do it. And it draws people in. And as a strength coach, you know, people don't want to go work with people that are, you know, that have bad body language, that are tired, that are, you know, that don't look like they want to be there, you know? Mm. And so, you know, I noticed that about you, and I know that, you know, that's just who you are in general. But what are some of the tips that maybe you have as far as always having energy, always bringing your A game, showing up every day, and from start to finish, you're gonna be the guy with the most energy in the room?
You know, I think a couple things there. One, it's God's grace. I mean, honest to goodness, it really is. It's just how I'm wired, and I've kind of always been that way. Two, it's something I'm passionate about. And, you know, I love to be a part of activating the greatness that lives inside others. That's one of my core motivational themes. And so anytime I have the opportunity to do that, I'm living in what I'm called to do. I'm living in what I'm passionate about. So I get these rivers of energy because I'm really doing what I was created to do. In addition, you know, we have to use and have to seek to use our strength to serve. And I think part of what it comes down to, there's times in our life where we're going to do things that we don't want to do. And I think character is revealed when, how do we respond to the things that we don't want to do, the things that aren't fun, the things that are mundane, and when no one's looking, you know? And so those just become things for me where it's like, you know what? There are people that depend on me. There are people that I am here. They don't know what my last 11 hours has looked like. They don't know what's going on in my marriage and my family. They don't know what's going to go on in the next 5 hours after I'm gone with them. All they know is they're here now, and I need to show up. So there's some days that I've just got to buckle down and say, this is what I'm called to do. this is what I signed up for. I got to get my mind right. I got to get my shield up, and I got to go out there and I got to rock this.
Right.
The other things that we have to do in order to support that, I mean, for me, you know, having brothers out there and sisters out there in this craft that genuinely want me to be better, that can genuinely help me figure out things that I don't understand, that can encourage me when I'm in the valleys and when times are hard and things aren't clear for me, that's been huge in my life. Trying to put the right foods in my body, trying to continue to keep what I would call my play in my life. So whatever that is for me, and play is simply this to me, Ron, and I try to infuse it into a lot of what we do in training. It's when you're involved in something that separates you from the constraints of time and space. So I'll tell you this, Dr. Kwame Brown and I talk about this quite a bit. We have to encourage and coax training. Mm-hmm. You got to get people to get in the gym. You got to get people to push for that next rep, that next set, and that stuff is important. Play, you got to stop play. And that is a fascinating difference. Mm-hmm. The fact that one, I've got to push along and make happen. The other one, I've got to stop. Fellas, you got to get to class. Right. We got to go. Right. Your mom's outside. We can't go anymore. That is absolute magic, and it always has been for me, and I encourage that for anybody, especially coaches. You got to find what that is for you, and it's contextual. You know, what brings you that joy, what brings you that sense of disconnect from the strains of the world, you've got to get that back in your life, and you got to have that playtime.
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. And you see it, you know, it's those times where you're trying to, you know, you have to kick players out of the weight room. Those are some of the best times, some of the best memories you have as a strength coach, you know?
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
So I totally agree. You know, knowing you.
And Ron, I will say on that also, let me just kind of say this too. Yeah, I think absolutely. One of the key things too is being in the moment, being right here, enjoy. Right now. And I think we get in trouble when we think about the next 10 hours that we have to do, or am I going to be doing this for the next year of my life, or I really want to go there in 6 months, or something that happened in the past and you're holding on to that. You just got to do your best to play the ball where it lies. It's right now. Just do this the best you can. Just be immersed into this with the most inspired action that you know how at that moment in time. And the next minute and the next hour and the next day will take care of itself, usually in amazing ways that you don't expect.
Well, you know, and another great tip there, and something that I found that works for me, is share it with your athletes. You know, the biggest thing that we tell our athletes is you know, you got to be able to manage adversity. You got to be able to manage the minutia. You know, share it with them. You know, it just, you know, when you're a humble coach and you're real and you say, hey, guys, I just came from getting off the phone with my wife where she just ripped me a new one, you know, and you got to share how you handle those types of situations because, you know, I'll always say, you know, we have 2 hours with these athletes. They have 22 hours to mess up everything we just did.
That's, you know, exactly right.
And if they can't manage that, just like if I can't manage my time outside of the weight room, then none of us are going to get better. You know,
you
bet. It's such an important thing to be able to help these guys navigate some of these life challenges that they're going to face.
You know, I think you just hit on something that is so profound and so important. And I hope all, you know, everyone who's listening just stops for a moment. And I want to anchor this down one more time. I've always believed in being open, unless it's going to harm you or harm someone else.
Sure.
Being wide open with who you are, what you know, what you don't know, what you're trying to do. And there's a balance here. And you've got – there's different levels of trust and credibility that you earn to open some of those doors. And there's an art to this.
Sure.
But I'll tell you this. When you get to a place through establishing a culture that you believe in and you want people to thrive in, and here's how you know you have the culture that's really working in the right direction. When you have an outlier – come into your culture, and that outlier gets absorbed or kicked out, your culture's solid. When an outlier comes in and changes the shape of your culture, you know it's not quite rooted enough yet. But I will say this. Right now, I've got some heavy stuff going on in my life, in my personal family life, that has just come up literally within the last 2 days. Everyone in my facility here knows what's going on. They've stepped up. They're plugging in. They understand. You know, they're giving me words of encouragement. They're praying for my family. We're part of a family. You know, as individuals, we can't. Together, we can. And when you can get to a place where you can start to release pieces of leadership to your athletes and your clients and allow them to be part of what you're doing and not have to be the leader and the end all be all in what you're doing, that becomes to me one of the most magical cultures and environments that you'll ever be a part of.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, and let's face it, for a lot of these guys, that may be the only family that they've ever been a part of.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that's and so
that's well said.
And it's so important as mentors and people that have been put in places of position of power per se, mm-hmm. that we model some of those things that maybe they haven't been privy to. You know,
and you bet.
And I think you know, the great thing about strength coaches in general and all of us, I mean, guys that are, you know, and gals that are watching this right now, they're investing time because they want to improve their craft. You know, mm-hmm. but you know, we are, you know, that's why they're some of the greatest people in the world, because they truly get in it because they want to make a difference on young people's lives.
Yes.
You know, and that's, yes, they do. And that's critical. That's, you know, and I think that's where I know this all stems for me. I know it's where it all stems for you, you know, mm-hmm. and kind of talking about that. I know, you know, your faith drives everything about you. I know that about mm-hmm. you, you know, and mm-hmm. I know and most people that know, you know, that talk about, you know, when you're working with an athlete, maybe, you know, in a team setting, or maybe somebody that has been tossed your way that doesn't necessarily mm-hmm. have or share the same values you do, you mm-hmm. know, that, you know, that doesn't necessarily, you know, believe the same things you do. How do you deal with that athlete? Or how do you try to minister or reach, or however you want to put that, to be able to get them to where we can be on the same page, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's a really good question, and I think we're called to love people and to serve people, and no matter what, no matter where, denial of self, and so what an opportunity to have. I mean, in a timeless universe, to have a moment in time with billions of people on a planet that you're going to have someone cross your path for a moment in time in a timeless universe, and we don't know what their story is. We just know that we have an opportunity in such a sacred place. No cell phones, no outside distractions, genuinely trying to achieve goals and things that matter to them, with the opportunities to unravel and peel apart true emotional experience for these people. What a sacred space to live in. And for me, I try not to go in with any expectations anymore. And the goal is, here's where it lines up for me and what I've become more and more convicted of, that natural law lines up with spiritual law all the time. So I'll give you an example of that, Ron. If someone would agree that it's a good thing not to lie, like, you know, not lying and being honest, that's character. You know, that's being a man. That's being a woman. That's being a good person. Well, I also know that that's a biblical spiritual truth. Right. So they line up. They match up. One doesn't take away from the other. So what I've come to do now is be sensitive to that. Watch, listen, absorb, listen to what's going on inside, the voices that are inside me, so that I can be in tune with who's in front of me. But I don't want to put stumbling blocks in front of people. My job is really simple. Deny myself my rights. Serve them. Be patient with them. Be kind with them. Treat them like I'd want to be treated. Love them. Be humble with them. Help them achieve their goals. Give the best of what I know how to give to them, because that's what's expected of me in that environment. And in the end, I know those are all godly qualities that they may never know that that's what I sowed into them, right. But I'm walking like I feel like I'm called to walk, and I'm going to let the rest happen how it's supposed to happen.
Well, yeah, and a great hit on an awesome concept. And you know, one thing that I've noticed throughout my coaching career is it doesn't always happen right then and there. You know,
no.
I mean, it used to be, you know, when you first got into coaching, freshmen, sophomores, you know, they usually got it by the time they were junior, seniors. You know, now,
right.
You know, now it's getting to the point where, you know, they're not even getting it necessarily as juniors and seniors, but they're coming back later on. And let me tell you a story and share with everybody. We had an athlete,
please,
that I trained, and great athlete, was a draft pick, phenomenal, you know, phenomenal football player. But this guy was a wreck when it came to his home life. You know, his home life was a wreck. He had, you know, he had multiple children from multiple women. Had, you know, was smoking dope. He was doing everything you could possibly do wrong, you know. And I was always consistent with this guy. And it's been my experience that, you know, whenever, you know, from an accountability, from a discipline, from a mentoring standpoint, as long as you are consistent and you don't bail on people, because that's usually the thing that they can't, you know, that athletes that have come from bad experiences value the most. They value, mm-hmm. Are you there for them? You know, they value,
yes,
that relationship. As long as you don't bail for them, eventually it's going to wear down. And so this athlete long story short, shows up to the, you know, pro day. He's high. He's got a dog in his hand. He's walking around with a bowl, asking NFL scouts to put water in the bowl. You know, ends up falling out of the league. Well, long story short, goes into, you know, calls me a little bit later on, asks me for a recommendation to the military. Goes in the military, finds the Lord, has a great military career, still in the military, completely different person. And the thing that he told me when he came back after having gone through basic and been in the military for a while was, you were the same guy all the time, and you showed you cared by that, the consistency. And I love you for that, Coach. And that sticks with you as a coach, as a man, as a mentor. That sticks with you far more than wins and losses and trophies and rings and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Ron, it is so true, and that's the stuff that's worth sowing into. That's the stuff that's worth doing what we do every day, because you know what? People won't bench 405 for the rest of their life. They won't run a 4.4, you know, 4.440 for the rest of their life, and it really won't matter. What will matter is that you had an opportunity to meet someone where they're at, to speak your truth, to walk in consistency and love, and to shape character that might change the rest of their life, and they'll never forget you for it. That's the beautiful power of an amazing coach. And as people are listening now, if I ask you to think of an incredible coach that changed your life for the better, pause for a second, bang. People have names come to their head, and you will be 90 telling your grandchildren, I had this coach, Ron. You know, he was amazing, and this is what he taught me, and this is what he did. They won't remember Oscar winners. The biggest multi-million-dollar movies, they won't remember secretaries of states and this and that, but they will remember a coach for the rest of their life. And as soon as they think of their name, they will be reminded of all the incredible times and experiences they had with that coach, and that is powerful, man.
No doubt. No doubt. You know, there's
and that's the great stuff.
There's something in your mission statement that I think that, you know, I'd like to share with everybody, you know, and I want to read it so I make sure I get it right. But it says, you know, becoming, you know, helping athletes become the who they are created to be, you know, and I think that's, you know, not every one of these athletes are going to be first round draft picks. Not every one of these athletes are going to go on and save the world or whatever it may be. But we get caught up sometimes in those materialistic types of things when every one of these athletes are going to go on and be leaders of their family, leaders within the community, leaders, you know, for what the different things that they're going to be involved with. And so we have an obligation, I think, as coaches, like you said, and the role that we play to help them learn how to be the best version of themselves, you know?
Yes, sir.
And I know that's a mission statement for you. So if you wouldn't mind kind of expanding on that a little bit as well.
Yeah, you know, for me, like one of the things that is a personal mission is to be of influence to those of influence. And, you know, as strength coaches, we have the opportunity to do that. We don't know who they'll become, but we do know that they're going to become, you know, fathers, mothers. They are brothers and sisters. They might be leaders of industry. They might be teachers with thousands of kids that they care for and that they can change their lives. And so if we have the opportunity to be behind the scenes and be of influence to them to make better decisions, so that when they have the opportunity to care for others, they create more change. It becomes this amazing ripple effect. And, you know, the beauty of it is, Ron, like that guy's life that you were able to sow into, went to the military. He might change the lives of a whole platoon. He might change the lives of a whole school system that he goes and talks to about freedom and defending your country. They will never know your name, Ron. Right. Not one of those kids that he affects will know your name, but you were of influence to those of influence. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff that gets me excited. And here's what I genuinely believe, that there is a creator that took great care in making each one of us individually unique. We are, I don't care if you're a scientist or you're a faith person or you're in between, it's hard to argue that the human body, the human organism, isn't the greatest miracle, the greatest machine on earth. It is amazing what it's capable of and how it operates. So that being said, the tools it's been given, the amazing creation that it is, the uniqueness of each individual, you were designed for a specific purpose. Our job is to help you move toward that space so that you can give to the world around you what you were uniquely called to give, to equip you to be a part of that journey to do that. And I'll tell you this, sport, fitness, training, all of those things, when done well, they inherently encompass so many of the principles that will allow you to be amazing in other areas of your life, whatever it is. Just replace sport with it. Parenting, lawyer, doctor, husband, father, wife, daughter, it doesn't matter. Teamwork, denial of self, standing in your strengths, using your strength for other, discipline, dedication, compassion, mercy, competitiveness, cooperation, all of those things that live within what we do and what we prepare people for on an everyday basis, those skills, those traits will never fade. They will always have relevance in the world around us.
No, that's well said. Well said. You know, you put yourself back into a young David Jack's shoes, mm-hmm. just getting into the profession, and some of the things mm-hmm. that you did. What recommendations would you have now for a coach that's coming out? Like you said, it's full of knowledge, because of the internet and better training mm-hmm. and all those types of things. But it's now trying to navigate this profession. What are some of the suggestions you would have for that person?
I would say learn. However you can find a way to get education, go learn. Go get around people that want to make you better. The people that you ask questions to that aren't interested in answering you, aren't interested in helping you, sometimes they don't have the time, and you got to be conscientious of that and be mindful of that. Others just aren't interested in at that moment in time in making other people better. But you need to find the people that are willing to sow into you and that speak to you, and the information they're sharing resonates with who you are and what you want to do in your life. And, a lot of young coaches don't have a lot of money, and I used to think, oh gosh, I have to spend that money to go to that. No, that's an investment in you that will pay dividends forever. It's the greatest money you can ever spend. Listen, don't go out to dinner. Don't buy the other pair of Nike or Reebok shoes. Don't go out and drink with your buddies and spend $100. If you really want to be better, you find a way to sacrifice something else. You save up that money. You go to a conference. You meet somebody that's going to change your life. One person can change your life in an instant. Say some dude goes and does what he needs to do, Ron, and meets you in an elevator at a conference or at the IYCA, and you fall in love with that person, and you ultimately start to mentor them. Well, where could you take them with your experience and your credibility in the industry? Sure. You can't find that if you don't show up. That's one.
Right.
If you don't have money, you call people and you say, would you mind if I came over and I watched you train and I just was quiet and I brought a notebook and I won't bother you? Can I just come over and spend time in your gym because I love what you do? And if they say anytime, that's what we had, an open door policy, man, you go and you take notes and you ask questions and you run with that momentum. Those are key. I would say really allowing yourself to be open to things that you may not have your mind set on, like I need to be a strength coach in college, or but this thing over here is like calling you and there's this opportunity that really in your gut you're like, it's not what I want to do. But be open to the art, be open to the flow, be open to the things that you're not planning on or anticipating, and be open to pursue those things as well, and surround yourself with good people. Get yourself in some education and get yourself into practice. And so what I had said was the greatest thing for me was getting in the trenches and doing it in a way that was safe, doing it in a way that was bared wisdom.
Right.
I didn't coach on my own until many, 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 many hours of being mentored by other coaches. And I coached what I was comfortable with at the time and then grew beyond it. But I would say find a friend, find your brother, find your cousin, find your sister, whatever, and start yourself, start experimenting with this stuff. Start getting your hands dirty and get into the lab. And that stuff is going to, I'm telling you, it's going to help you. And then just do your best right now, whatever you're involved in, whatever you're called in, give it your all. And that type of effort will always turn the ordinary into the extraordinary. It always does.
No doubt. Well, and exactly what you hit on is a lot of the reason why we do this show is to introduce them to people that they may not have an audience with on their own, and so getting a chance to get to know a David Jack, and listening and learning from some of the trials and tribulations and the how he navigated a profession, saves you time. It saves you, lots of energy and you might identify with a lot of the different things that you did or some of the other people that have been on the show. So I appreciate that. Some other things are obviously reading, researching, all those types of give us a book that you recommend for coaches to read.
Oh gosh,
or something
there's really
right
so many, and they span across the universe. I mean, obviously for me, because I'm a man of faith, the Word of God is really my foundation and it's my bedrock. But I've been in books from from Super Training to Dr. Igor Berdenko's books, who's a mentor of mine, to Mike Boyle's books, Essentials, you know, Essentials of Strength and Conditioning, to the FMS and to movement, to oh gosh, I'm trying to think of some of the early books that helped me. Just even going on and getting involved in watching people in forums. Like I was on sportspecific.com when it first came out, and I was following coaches and following what they were writing and finding blogs that I really resonated with different coaches that were involved in things that I wanted to be involved in, that were living in the trenches right now and sharing their experiences from the field because they were real. You know, they're real time. They're right now, and they're in the authentic environment that I'm in or wanted to be in. I thought that was so important. Right. So I mean, you know, all I have found so much inspiration and so much insight from all of those things, from books like leadership books, from motivation books, from things like The Tipping Point and Switch, and you're drawn to certain things and you just plug into those things and. Right. And it's incredible, you know. So there's so much, and I think it's just, you know, what really helped me was, like I said, finding people that I respected doing things that I was passionate about doing or wanted to do, and then learning from them and plugging into them and collaborating with them. It literally shortened my learning curve, tenfold.
No doubt, no. And you know, you brought up a great point as well, is getting outside of your profession necessarily, outside of just, strength and conditioning, but leadership and business training and things along those lines, it opens your mind a little bit. I think a lot of times, you read a 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss or something, and it changes how you look at strength and conditioning a little bit, maybe some resources there.
That's right. And, it's for, I read Good to Great and the Five Dysfunction of Team and, there's all, and now I'm reading, oh gosh, I've got just this whole scattering of books that each of them are speaking to me in different ways. And I'm able to pull those pieces together with the art of my craft. And then there's a piece where we've really got to hunker down and decide, how do I want to get better in my actual craft of strength and conditioning, and what's in front of me? What am I focusing on? So right now, I've always been focused on play and integrating play and freedom of movement in what I do. And so now it's, studying and reading things from like Dr. Stuart Brown, Dr. Kwame Brown, the guys like Steve O'D and some of the guys with PTA Global and just keeping my eyes on some of, and with the IYCA the developing athlete and the complete development essentials and long-term athletic development. I studied the Australian model. I studied the Canadian model, looking into a lot of those models of long-term athletic development, have given me such amazing insights. And so, and that's, you mentioned something really good as well. It's like, I talk about what is fitness? What is strength? Right. I've always asked that question. What is it really? Like, what is it? And is it to move 405? Is it to beat a guy off the line of scrimmage or beat a girl off this ball on a face-off, or off this puck? Or, what really is strength? And I think fitness comes down to, it's been relegated to just the physical, when it's always been, for me, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. Excuse me, I just had a call come in, so I had to clear out of that.
No, that's fine.
But I think it's hard to be well, Ron. You can look great from the outside. It's like I talk about this house, and you drive by it, and man, it's, look at that house. Look at that lawn. Look at, it is amazing. Look at the windows. Look at the pool back there. And then you go in and you open up the front door, and it's broken down, and there's maggots and cobwebs and flies everywhere. And, we have a really good way of putting on an air from the outside. Six-pack abs. We look great. Look at what we eat. Look at how we train. Look how many atomic push-ups I can do. But you're yelling at your wife.
Right.
You're miserable with your kids. Your finances are a mess. You don't have a connection with a higher power. You've lost that connection. It's like, what is the real big rock in your life?
Yeah.
What is the real thing that's affecting your performance? And we talk about like Howie Wenger's and the gears. There's a watch, and its function is to tell time. But what really dictates what we judge the efficacy of this watch by, what it shows us on the outside, like our human bodies, is really dictated by what's happening on the gears on the inside. And you've got to understand that those gears are real in your life. You've got to pay attention to them. You've got to respond to them. And you have to just be open to the fact that sometimes you need to let go of what you think you need to hold on to in order to earn the right to grab hold of what you really need. And that's the hardest thing, you know, surrendering to receive.
Well, that's fantastic. And I think, you know, this hasn't been our typical nuts and bolts strength and conditioning episode necessarily, but so much of what you're talking about, getting your own house in order so that you can help affect and change other people and their houses is so important for what we do, you know, and you hit it right, hit the head on the nail on the head. What am I trying to say?
You got it. You're dead on.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know, like, and I will say something real quick about nuts and bolts for me. And you know, for me, it's always been maybe because I don't have a deep education that, and part of I yearn for that. And I want to learn more. And, you know, my job is always to know when it's time to say time out. Right. And turn people over to great people that I surround myself with, other practitioners that are great at their craft, nutritionists, bodywork people, PTs, integrated chiros, you know, and the list goes on. But I still want to be able to extend how long it takes me to take time out, to say time out, right? So,
right.
But I feel like a lot of what we do is also art-based. And, you know, for me to be able to earn the right to do the bigger picture that I want to do, which is make a difference in people's lives and serve them and watch them go out and be great and activate that in them and them activate that in others, I've got to honor the craft in front of me. Right. I've got to honor the tool I'm using. I can't just be a motivational guy and not be really good at the nuts and bolts of what I do. So it's very important that we respect. So here are some things. Speed and strength is a skill. They should be treated like that. Mm-hmm. There is a progression to it. Skill it, drill it, and thrill it. You learn a skill, you clean it up, you get it right, you drill it in progression, you earn the right to thrill it and have fun with it for subconscious competence. It works all the time. Loaded to unloaded, simple to complex. You know, all of those things are still real, absolute principles. Long-term athletic development, all those things matter to me. Infusing play, movement. I believe that strength brings life to movement. Movement brings life to strength. One without the other, it's an incomplete picture. Movement is almost like taking a car on the track and seeing if your strength is actually working. Strength is where you take the car on the track, it doesn't run right, you put it back in the lab and you do some more strength and some more mobility and you fix things to make the movement better. There's harmony between those. I will also say this for me, Dr. Burdenko, and it summed up what I've always thought. He is very simple how he said this to me one time. He grabbed the dumbbell and he looked at me and he squeezed it and he said, David, and his arm got tight and he said, you train with steel, you become like steel. Then he took a band and he went, you train with band, you become band. And we do a lot in the water. He said, you train with water, you become like water. And he paused and he looked at me and he said, David, use all of them. And I think what we get caught in is realizing or trying to put people into one bucket. You can't train with steel all the time because we're all sympathetic all the time, especially athletes. How are you getting them parasympathetic? How are you getting them to release tissue? How are you letting them open and be free and allow summation of force and payoff? How are we filling that gap in their life? How are we letting them play to get out of this and get into this and get into joy with movement again, an intrinsic connection to what we do? Those things become really critically important to me. And I think the architecture we create has to look at those pieces so that we can build something that our people can have sustainable, long-term success, reduction of injury, increase of performance, and still be able to effectively do the job in front of them right now.
Oh, that sums it up right there. Now, that's fantastic. That was really good. Hey, on the way out here, because I know you got to get going, give us a quote or a verse, something that you live by, something that's plastered maybe around your house, in your weight room, wherever.
I've got a couple. One of them is everybody has a story.
Yeah.
And you don't know their story, but the stories are amazing. And I think if we honor that in each individual and take the time to learn what their stories are and then help them shape a story that can write a new chapter in their life and the lives of others, that's important. I think for me, you know, in the Bible, there's one that specifically relates to our craft. It's that we should encourage one another and we should not give up meeting together, which some are in the habit of doing, but we should encourage one another and all the more as we see the day approaching. And I think that together rising tides raise all ships. That when we put our egos aside, that when we stop pointing fingers at each other, oh, kettlebell swings, hard style stinks, and American style stinks, and why do we even use kettlebells? And you do Olympic lifts? Olympic lifts are terrible. What do you do? Oh, you don't use blocks. You use a hook grip. You don't use a hook grip. You do this. You do that. What? We're you still have to speak your truth, but we're tearing each other down. Who's going to build us up?
Right.
Who's going to share best practices? And not because we want to prove we're right or wrong, because we want to help each other and we believe in the thing we're talking about.
Right.
The other saying for me is, you will have trouble in the – you will find trouble in the world. But for me, my creator has overcome it. And so there's a hope for me that I can't. He can, so I think I'm going to let him. And, when I get to the end of myself, that's when great things happen. And then the last thing, I think it comes back to, becoming the who to do the what. That's really so powerful to me. And sometimes the what helps shape the who. But I think as we root down into who we truly are, we can rise up to be who no one else can be. And I think that's the end. I want to help people root down into who they truly are so that they can go rise up into who no one else can be. And through that, some amazing things happen.
No doubt. And you hit it, when you said, being able to lift each other up. And I appreciate you coming on the show and helping lift everybody up today. And just the person that you are, the chance that I've gotten, the opportunity I've had to get to know you. And I think you're a special person, man. You're doing special things. And I know that we're all a little bit better for spending a little time with you today. Where do you want people to go if they want to, they want to follow what you got going on or get to know you a little bit better? Where should we send people?
Well, we're putting all that together with the new move out here to Phoenix, that we're hunkering down at Arizona Grand Resort, and it's going to be the Activate Lab. So more of that will come. But for now, they could hit me up on Twitter and I could get them more information. David Jack, the number one, is my Twitter username, and that's just a really easy way to jump into me. And some of my Facebook feeds to there, and I'm not great with social media. I've always been a trench guy, so I'm trying to kind of balance both of those things. But I just want to tell you how grateful I am to know you and have met you, Ron, and just for who you are, for your talent, for your genuine interest of bringing people together. I feel like I've learned so much in the call and had so many things affirmed. And I'm going to tell you this, the more I am involved in this industry and the further I go, the less I think I know. And there's so much information out there, and I feel like, gosh, there are so many things I have to learn. And so I just, for anybody out there, be patient with me. I'm still learning. Sometimes you'll see things that are done in isolation and it's not the true story. So have that filter in your mind.
I hear you.
But if there's anything that you believe in and that you can share to make us better or to help our people, please share that along, because I'm always looking for ways to help people spend less to get more.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much.
Ron, thank you, and thank you to everybody else out there. Peace, brother.
All right, guys, a couple quick things before we let you go. I know you probably got rider's cramp just like I do. Tons of great information in there, and David has done a fantastic job of sharing that with us. If you would, join me in the comment section at ronmckeefrey.com and let David know just how much we appreciate him coming on. And then give me some feedback. Let me know some things that you liked about it, didn't like about the episode, as well as maybe some recommendations for future episodes. Again, we're all in this together. I want to continue to bring this to all strength coaches and serve the community. So please let me know what we can do there. Like I said at the beginning, we are now on iTunes. So if you are a Apple person and have iTunes, please go to the iTunes page and subscribe to the channel. Download the episodes that are there now, and leave a rating and a review if you could. That helps me rank a little bit higher there in iTunes and continue to help spread this message. If you are a YouTube person, go to YouTube and subscribe to the channel there, and same thing. That way you can see the visual episode as well. But I'm just trying to get this to you in as many mediums as possible. Each week I send out an email, so if you're not on the email list, make sure you join that as well. But I hope you enjoyed this episode. I know I did, and make sure you check back next week for a new one. Talk to you later.